Is webradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio, and glad to have you in. This is a special edition, or we're going to call it a special edition, of the Dan and Dave Show. That way you can go to the Dan and Dave page on America's Web Radio, which the Dan and Dave Show is 10 o'clock on Mondays. But we're doing a special edition today because I feel very strongly about what's going on in our country and the fact that the number of lies that are coming out of Washington, D.C., our political situation, and felt like it was important to bring someone that is experienced with Trump and is also very supportive of the Trump movement. And Ellen has been on the Greg's List, Greg Williams' show on America's Web Radio. So I'm going to bring her in for the next 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about what's going on, the many lies that are being told about Trump, as a matter of fact. And we're going to be doing this, like I said, the next 2 weeks. So we invite you to listen to America's Web Radio. Tell your friends about it. Download the podcast. The podcast for this will be up within the next couple of days. And you can go to our website and download it from the Dan and Dave page. So with that being said, I want to welcome Ellen into the studios again. She's familiar with the round table and how it works, and I believe you've got a guest that's going to be coming on at some point as well.
Yes, at 10:30, a good friend of mine and insurance broker, Elena Marino, is going to be calling in because she is a Cuban American, and I think that she's going to have a lot to explain to us about how things are in Cuba and why we don't want it that way in America.
How long has she been in the States? Do you know offhand?
She came in the 6 years old, so it was probably about early 60s. There was an operation called Operation Peter Pan to get children out of Cuba.
I guess as you're getting your thing set up there, my concern is, and the reports came out today regarding the voter early voting and the machines being played with. This was from Texas. But my I live in a very small world, I guess, and the ladies that I know, they took this thing, the locker room thing on Donald Trump, as a grain of salt. And with that being said, the Democrats have tried to blow this whole thing out of proportion that, you know, Trump will be lucky to get one vote, his wife's vote for president almost. I wanted to bring you in as a woman and a Trump supporter, get not only your opinion, but what you are seeing and hearing and feeling in Georgia and around the country as far as women. My wife certainly is a supporter of Trump, and she took what that message was less than a grain of salt, as did most of my friends. So where are you with this?
Okay, right. Well, as a woman for Trump and an American for Trump, he has been my candidate since the primaries. And I've been really blessed with great opportunities to speak to some different people about this issue, particularly at the millennial rally that was last Sunday, and getting to be the female on the agenda, a woman for Trump. Also, what's interesting is the media is turning up the heat in Georgia a little bit, in that they came out to the Cobb GOP yesterday to speak to a group of women out there. That was Time Magazine, and an AJC article that was out on Sunday also speaking to women. And what you find with the media is all they do is ask questions about the videos and the words and the bad things that he said. Women are smarter than that. The American voter is smarter than that. They never ask a question about her being, I'll refer to Hillary Clinton. They never ask questions about her or what she's up to or the things that have happened in the last 8 years with our country or Obamacare or even issues. All they do is continue to circle back. If you do not give the answer that they want to hear about Donald Trump, they reframe the question and come back at you in another way. 9 out of 10 women that I know and talk to are for Donald J. Trump. So do not be fooled by the media.
Is that just in Georgia, or would you say that would be across the country?
Well, naturally, Georgia is my largest segment of knowledge, but I do have a friend who has 50,000 followers and did a poll and then reached 1 million responses on that poll. When he set out that poll, and that's my friend David Hill, when he set out that poll, he said, okay, women, and this was on Tuesday, October 18th, before the debate, asked women specifically how they felt and who they were going to vote for and to just respond with the candidate name. 1 million responses later, and this is on a national level, it's landslide Trump, landslide Trump.
So with that being said, do you think it's going to be a landslide Trump?
Yes, I think it's going to be a landslide Trump, yes.
You know, and again, you're much closer to it than I am, but correct me if I'm wrong. It's going to have, with all the shenanigans, we know the shenanigans have been going on since the Chicago days back in the 20s, and maybe before then, who knows. Mm-hmm. But with all the shenanigans that we know are going to be played, is the only possible way, and it's the only possible way I see it anyway, is that it has to be a landslide for Trump to overcome the 1,000 people dead that voted here and the 2,000 dead that voted over there and the people that voted 3 and 4 times and the machines that are twisting the... you put your ballot in for Trump, and it twisted into a Clinton thing, which to me is directly George Soros, and if he was shot today, I wouldn't give him a memorial.
Well,
I wouldn't give him a black flag, in fact.
Right. David, you are absolutely right. The one demographic that Hillary Clinton does lead in is the dead voter, but it's kind of hard to get that dead voter to turn out at a rally, which explains why her rallies are so poorly attended. If you just look at rally attendance where Trump has 20,000 people showing up at a rally, people still standing on line outside, and she gets maybe 500 people. Tim Kaine had 30 people turn out at a rally on Saturday in Florida, which is just abysmal numbers. As far as rigged polls and how much we're going to have to win by, this is completely unofficial, only in my own head. I think Trump will win actually 80% of the American vote, but through lies and deception and rigged voting, that it will be squashed to 57%, which is still a sound victory.
It's hard to wait, isn't it?
Yes, we have 13 days left to go, and as soon as my convenient early voting poll opens near me, I'm going to go do that. So that should be Tuesday. Vote early and often if you're a Republican.
let me ask, you brought up the fact of the crowds, and if I'm interrupting your planned agenda, let me know.
No, go right ahead.
You know, we hear a lot, and the distortion of the mainstream media is, for me, I've been in media most of my life. Started out when I was 14 with the Kennedy assassination and was a disc jockey in all of Lubbock, Texas, but we immediately went from disc jockey to news right quick. Mm-hmm. But so I see what they're doing, and it smells to high heaven. But they're coming out now, and these opinion people, they're not reporters, they're not news people, they're in my opinion people, that are coming out with, well, you know, the Democrats have the boots on the ground, they've got the people that are going door to door, and they've got so many more. They've got an organization that Trump doesn't have. And I think it was Greg and I talking about it yesterday, as a matter of fact. My opinion is, Trump has a much better ground organization than the Democrats, not from the fact that it's an organization that everybody's walking around with a pin on their shirt, but from the fact that you hit it on the head. You get 20,000 people to to a rally, 25, 30, 50, whatever it might be, they go out, they're much better than the hired people that are giving out pamphlets door to door. They're going to their neighbor and saying, I got in, I got to see Trump, I got to listen to him. If you're not thinking about Trump, you know, they're working harder than anybody, than the hired slave is. Would you agree to that?
Right. So you started out talking about the ground game of the two campaigns. If the media, who is so sold out for her, is saying that, oh, it's going to be landslide her, which it's not, that's a lie. If that were the truth, then how come you're not seeing more bumper stickers for her, more yard signs for her? With the silent majority, I can tell you what conservatives are thinking. They're thinking, if I have a bumper sticker, I have a bumper sticker. But most people are thinking, if they have a bumper sticker, they're going to have their car egged or someone run them off the road. So the silent majority is actually a bit afraid to come out and say, but majority, silent majority, there you have it right there. If the HER campaign was the majority, what you would be seeing is a lot more yard signs, a lot more local vocalization of support for her. And I think Trump did something brilliant before the last debate. Megyn Kelly had said, oh, well, it looks like Trump's going to do some live something feed on Facebook or an interview. So what Trump's campaign did was a live feed on Facebook, 8:30, before the debate began at 9 p.m., and the numbers were astronomical. I was watching the live feed numbers go up. It got to, for sure, 214,000, and then it started to throttle back. My thing was, I was wondering if Zuckerberg was out there monkeying with the numbers, but you don't get that kind of response on one platform of social media and not have more people in your camp.
You know, we've got to take a break here shortly.
Sure.
In about a minute. And as I mentioned when you and I talked initially, that I wanted this aimed at getting women. What would, and I'm going to ask you this before each break, say something to the women out there.
Oh, my goodness, ladies. Don't worry about your feelings. Don't worry about your emotions. We're not voting based on personality, because if we were and the media was being true about what is out there, we would all be seeing Hillary Clinton for the absolute mess and disaster that she is. What's going to hurt you more than your feelings or your emotions is a bomb. When a bomb drops on you or one of your loved ones, that's going to hurt more than your feelings or your emotions. So, ladies, if you are hung up on that, and I don't think you are because I know you're smart, get over it.
All right, we're going to take a break on this special edition of the Dan and Dave. Without Dan, I'm afraid, but we'll be back with Ellen Deal right after this.
Obamacare is failing. We all know that, but you need to know why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org. This is Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Join us at ObamacareWatch.org.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to America's Web Radio and the special edition of the Dan and Dave Show. And as I mentioned earlier, we do podcast all of our shows. We archive our shows. So go to the Dan and Dave page. It's if you go to our programmings, go to Monday and scroll down to Dan and Dave. This show will be posted out of order, sort of, but that's okay. I own it, so I can do what I damn well please. But anyway, it'll be up in a couple of days or less, and you can download the show and listen to Ellen again. It's a delight to have Ellen Deal in here talking to us about Trump. You brought up on while we were off the air, you brought up several things that we want to address or talk about. But I guess one of my, and Dr. George, who just did the Medicine on Call show, we talk about this constantly. You know, there's the old thing, screw me once, shame on you, screw me twice, shame on me. I assume you've heard of Arkansides.
I have.
Okay. We've got Arkansides, we've got the Clinton Foundation, we've got the email thing, we've got, you know, I remember back in Whitewater where, oh my God, some records have been lost, and all of a sudden they magically appeared outside the first family's door on a coffee stand type thing. This lady and Bill are notorious liars. They don't know the truth. I don't think a word comes out of their mouth that's the truth.
Right.
They've been subject to, he was impeached. She was fired from the Watergate investigation for lying. I mean, if you just take a tenth of her history.
Right.
1% of her history.
Yes.
That's enough to say she is not eligible to be president. She shouldn't be picking up after dogs, in my opinion.
Right.
Why? What is the mental block that people won't accept that this lady, you know, and it's not, I, you know, in some ways I have nothing against Hillary Clinton. I don't care. But just look at her record, and she shouldn't be allowed within 1,000 miles of Washington, D.C. Why don't people understand this?
Yeah, it's media spin and hype. The media is, I think we were talking before the last break about the interview with the women in Cobb County, and that the person doing the interview just kept taking the questions back to negative things about Trump and what Trump has done. So we need to learn to not only pivot, but we need to learn to flip the entire conversation so that we're talking about her issues. So the media is behind this. I've never seen such a thing like this, but people seem to really enjoy that Jerry Springer mentality, and I don't know if this is a function of social media where people can hide behind what they have to say and say things that come off more nasty, and they think they're being funny, but the media has definitely changed the way people think and behave.
Can those people be changed?
In the next 4 years, with Donald Trump as president number 45, I think so.
What would you say, my best friend, in fact, the other half of the show, has some relatives that, when I was growing up, we had the term yellow dog Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant that basically it didn't matter who was running, if they were a Democrat, you voted for them. And this is a situation that we have with Hillary. A couple of these relatives, no matter what, well, it's a conspiracy. It's a Trump. No, these are facts. This lady has been involved with this. You know, you say 4 years of Trump will change your mind. I I don't know that it will. And I don't know, is that having an effect on this landslide you're talking about?
I think so. So your yellow dog Democrats are smarter than the left gives them credit for. When you look at the top 10 poorest cities in America, they are all Democratic run, and the black voter is waking up. They're kind of in the same boat with a silent majority. They're afraid to stand up and speak out, but there is a good percentage of the black voter that lives in these top 10 poorest Democrat-run cities that are ready for a change that was going to put more than just change in their pocket. They need real jobs. They need real employment. Not every person in Chicago is walking around with an illegal gun shooting people. There are good people in Chicago that are afraid to go outside of their doors, and we need to change not just the face of our nation, but these inner cities as well, and make it safe for the folks that want to see change. So the people that need something different are the people that are going to vote for Donald J. Trump.
Being much older than you, you probably don't remember this term, but it fits Hillary perfectly now. Back in the mid to late 50s and early 60s, there was a thing called payola, and it was disc jockeys playing music for money. And they would bring, you'd have a song come out, and if you wanted it in the top 20 station, well, a disc jockey might get a few bucks under the table to play it and start promoting the song. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what we call payola. Today it's pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand on that, and what do you see? How is that all come about with the Clintons?
Right. So Hillary Clinton has been around for 30 years. She's had a lot of opportunity and a lot of time to do a lot of good, but she has not done that.
It's more than 30 years. She turned 69 today.
Okay.
And she started out as a corrupt bitch back when she was in her 20s, right after she graduated from college. So we're really talking more like 40 years as opposed to 30 years.
Okay, great. Good correction. So 40 years that she has not accomplished anything worthwhile. She's had her name on a lot of bills, but those aren't bills that are getting things done. So when you're talking about money and pay for play, we do need to address the Clinton Foundation and where all of this money is coming from. In America, we need Americans doing the contribution to presidential campaigns, but Saudi Arabia has bragged that they have funded 20% of her campaign. Saudi Arabia has given $25 million. You've got countries like Oman, Qatar, and Brunei, and now we're hearing about Morocco recently. And these countries suppress the rights of women. So as a woman, my vote would be worth half that of a man if I were even allowed to vote. I would not be able to drive a car. I would not be able to sit here and do this interview at all. But if I did, I'd have to have a male relative sitting with me to make sure that everything was okay. And they want us to wear, I think it's called a hijab or a hijab. They want us to wear that and possibly even a burqa. And I said at the millennial rally, I would not wear a burqa even on a bad hair day. So
pay to play.
Yep.
What am I going to get if I pay enough?
Wow. Well, you would probably get a big radio studio and get your own network, and you would be able to say whatever you wanted to say.
How much do you think this is the pay-to-play? Whether it's selling the Lincoln Library or Lincoln bedroom for a night or whatever, talking to his ghost or whatever. How much does this play a role in their thinking and some of her decisions, i.e. Benghazi? And we're very, as a station, and I've met Chris Pirano, and we have some very close connections, mm-hmm, with Benghazi, and I certainly have formed my opinions. But with the pay to play, do you see that being more to come if she were to be elected?
Absolutely. There's no end to the greed of the Clinton Foundation. And Travis Ellis is one of the great guests that's been here in your studio before, and we need to pay great attention to our veterans and our military and take care of them. We have veterans committing suicide at the rate of 22 per day, and that goes back into it just all ties in with the pay to play, and we need to just stop that as quickly as we can.
What would you say Trump's attitude towards the military or anything that he would put on the table compared to Clinton's attitude towards the military?
Right. Trump is absolutely for our military and is already proposing what he'll do for the VA when he gets in office. If a veteran is waiting online longer than it should be, then he's going to propose that that veteran should be able to go to a doctor that's outside of the VA, and that makes sense. It's just one of the great ideas he has to make America great again.
Okay, with that being said, I must admit, I'm former military, and I've got a son that's a captain in the military, an officer in, I don't want to go into details, but anyway, So I have an attachment to the military. I must admit that I've got very strong feelings about who we have in the Oval Office, and this is a problem that I have with Trump. Now, I totally respect General Flynn, and that's one of his advisors, and I assume, I don't know him personally, but I know that a couple of other retired generals are also advising Trump, who I know personally and have a lot of respect for, not personally to the point that we're good buddies, but I do have a telephone number for him, so I can call. But I have a problem with somebody being in the Oval Office that has no military experience. With that being said, I somewhat have a problem with Trump. One has to say he does have a pretty good ego. And I guess my question to you, do you feel like, as a voter, that he will listen to his advisors?
Absolutely. That's part of what makes him a great businessman, is that he surrounds himself with people that know answers to questions that he doesn't have the answers to. With the idea of a president needing a military background, I think it is very nice that the past presidents have fought for our country. However, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, neither of them have military background. So when you're looking at a Donald Trump, he did go to a military school, so he's got a little bit of that in him, and he's got the heart of a winner and the drive and the spirit of a winner, which he has said it before, we're going to be winning so much, you're going to say, Mr. President, I can't take it anymore. We've got to, please, no more winning, but let's win. Let's win really big.
With that being said, let's be a winner and take a break. You're listening to America's Web Radio, the Dan and Dave Show, a special edition, which this is very special because we've never done this before, but I'm very anti-Clinton and felt like this was important and something that we could do. So you're welcome to go to the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio Show and download the podcast. It should be up, or the archive. It should be up within the next day or so. And we'll be back right after this.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Hey, everybody, it's Ellen Deal, and we have a very special guest on with us. Elena Marino is a Cuban-American, and I just wanted to have her on for a few minutes today so she can talk to us about what things are like in Cuba so that we as Americans can be forewarned and not go the direction of socialism. Elena, I heard Dr. Ben Carson speak one time, and at the beginning of a speech, she said something very funny, which was, when you ask most young people what socialism is, they think it means social media.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, coming from a place like Cuba, you know, what can you tell us? What is it like for as someone who left there as a child?
Well, I left when I was six. About a year and a half after Castro declared himself a Marxist-Leninist, when he was running, under a democratic socialism. He basically promised elections because the Batista, who was the elected at one point and lost, had come back and had a coup d'etat and basically became a dictator. So Castro was able to get a lot of people to support him by promising elections, which of course haven't happened in 55 years. So once he declared himself a Marxist-Leninist, one of the first things they did is shut down all Catholic schools. And so that was a big impetus for my parents, as well as compulsory military for children up to from ages, I think it was 12. They'd have to go through, I don't know if you've seen the little little military exercises of children with the little red berets. They start them early. The indoctrination is quite young. So parents, the Catholic Church here, in conjunction with the federal government, got a program started called Operation Peter Pan, where children could be sent to the U.S. Adults weren't, but and up to 11,000 children came in those years under Operation Peter Pan. Peter Pan because children fly alone, and about half of them or more, I think, reunited with their families, including ourselves. Well, with our mother, our dad did die in Cuba. But many were taken in as foster kids. So it was a rough time. It was a rough time that people say, hey, do you remember? And of course you remember. You're very impressionable when you're young. So, you know, we survived. We both went to college, partial scholarship, partial loans. We all started businesses, and we've done well, so we really appreciate this country, which sometimes I feel Americans born and raised here don't quite appreciate, maybe perhaps because they didn't
they kind of take it for granted.
Right. So one of the things that we touched on when we spoke the other day was, you know, socialism and how people are compensated. Can you talk a little bit about what the rate of pay is in Cuba?
Yes. The rate of pay, the average income, everybody is paid by the government. Even those who work in, quote, private foreign hotels. The average wage is
$23. $23 a what?
A month. $23 a month.
Yeah.
And people say that's impossible, but you can look it up. Housing, how housing is handled is in that decree in January, I think it was in 59 as well, said that whatever property you lived in at that moment became yours.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandfather, who had built our house, who was an architect, we were living in it at the time, so we got to keep it, but the two apartments behind the house were automatically, we lost, including the garage, which was underneath the apartments. My dad's car was in there, so we lost the car.
So in a socialist,
physically in that structure.
So in a socialist world or society, the government comes in and takes whatever they want?
Yes. Everything was expropriated. There's no private property at all.
Mm-hmm.
So the housing, and that's why, you know, architecturally and physically, you know, Cuba's such decay,
mm-hmm.
because the people don't have the ability to fix their houses,
mm-hmm.
Because they just don't. They basically work for the government, and like a hotel opens up and they're going to hire, I don't know, 200 people, they have to go through the Ministry of Interior and tell them how many people they want, and then the government hires them and sends them there, and they get on average, I meant to check, but it's about 6 to 8%. So say if they pay $1,000 to the Cuban government,
mm-hmm.
then the individual gets 6 or 8% of that.
So the hotel is paying $1,000 for the employee, but the employee only gets 8% of that $1,000, and the rest
That's
goes
correct.
To the government. Okay.
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, absolutely slavery, because the master of the people is the government. I remember asking Marco Rubio at an event, why is it that not getting more press? Why mm-hmm. people don't realize or talk about it? And he said, you're right. And he says, but just so you know, even our embassy has to hire from the government. The embassy cannot, in Cuba, our embassy cannot hire directly.
The U.S. embassy in Cuba has to go by these guidelines that you just explained, where Cuba gets most of the money and the employee gets 8% of whatever that pay is.
That's correct.
Wow. You have to repeat it because it sounds so absurd. I had to
it
repeat
does
it.
It does sound so real.
Mm-hmm. So if we get a Clinton administration, do you think any of these the way of operating a country, how far are we as Americans?
Well, it's interesting to read Lenin, interesting, and at one point I did, and Marxist, because a lot of people don't understand. There is no country, period, amen, in the world that has a socialist government. It just doesn't exist. That is not a communist government.
Okay.
Because socialism means that is the production, distribution, and exchange of goods owned and regulated by government. Okay?
Okay,
so the only way to impose that is by force. So a lot of people confuse socialist programs with socialism, socialist economy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was riding in an Uber one time with a fellow, and this was when Bernie was still in the race, and I was asking the Uber driver who he would be voting for, and he said, oh, well, I'm for Bernie. And sitting in the back seat, I looked at him funny. He saw me in the rearview mirror, and I said, well, why would you be for Bernie? And he said, oh, well, don't you think that everybody should make the same amount of money? And I said, no. And he looked at me funny again in the rearview mirror, and I explained. I said, well, you're an Uber driver. If you drive 80 hours a week, and that's the amount of money that you make, but there's another Uber driver who only drives 20 hours a week, do you think that that guy should make the same amount of money as you? And I could just...
Very good.
Yeah, thank you. I could just see the expression on the driver's face go from confusion to understanding to then being angry at me for making it clear to him what he was saying.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is, if you're going to make the same amount of money, precisely like you said, 20 or 80 hours, why would you work anymore?
I wouldn't. I mean,
the incentive to work, the incentive to produce, is gone.
Right.
So how they scrap, that's why you get that kind of, there's always an angle, there's always a little bit of stealing, there's always a little bit of conniving, there's always a little bit of something going on. My uncle, who is passed away, who ended up taking my sister in as our father figure, he brought in a lot of, immigrants from Cuba where he started them, set up their apartment, paid for the first 3 months, worked with Catholic Social Services, and got them started. And he would hire people, like, to paint or whatever, even though, like he said, I didn't even need the house painted, but I thought I'd hire this guy. I asked him, what did you do in Cuba? He said, paint. And he put a ladder there, and it's a one-story house.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says, well, I don't get on ladders. And he said, well, how do you paint? And he says, I just paint the bottom.
Great. Some people would say, don't ask a question you don't know the answer to. I do not know the answer to this question. Elena, are women in Cuba treated differently than men?
Well, the women in white, have you heard about them?
No.
The most prevalent human rights group is the Women in White, and interesting, they're mostly black, but they are repeatedly, at least once a week, beaten, harassed, arrested, and they claim that they are even treated worse. I do not know that for a fact, but it's just like, how bad can it get when you have to wait in line for food? Because actually Cuba, as far as I'm aware, is the only country still that you have to, you eat what's on your ration card. You assign so many chickens a month. Everything is assigned. So you have to wait in line to get the food. And actually that's happening now in Venezuela. I take it back.
Right.
Because
right.
Now... people in Venezuela also have to wait in line.
I'm glad you brought that up. So we've got Cuba, we've got Venezuela, not sure how bad things are in Greece. We're going to have to take a break in a minute, and Elena, I'll ask you to hold because we might like you to stay over for the next segment if you've got time, but we'll check that out with you on the break. For everybody tuning in, I am Ellen Deal, and we're speaking with Elena Marino, who is a Cuban-American, and she also sells health insurance, so that might be a pretty exciting topic. What we're doing is we're taking an hour to say very positive pro-Trump things without the liberal media stifling us. So it's an hour of just talking about the real issues and the things that matter from a woman's perspective. So I think we are close up to a break, and y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
When 4 members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, It seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And welcome back to this special edition of the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. And I want to remind everybody that they can go to our website, AmericasWebRadio.com, go to programs, go to click on programs, go to Monday, click on the Dave and Dan Show, and you can download the show if you'd like. No charge, anything like that. It should be up in the archives within the next 24 to 36 hours. So want to invite you to do that. Spread it around. Send it to your friends. And I also want to take this opportunity to write quick because time goes very fast, but I wanted to thank Ellen for coming in today. Ellen Deal, she works in the Trump campaign, as a matter of fact, and that's what we wanted. I'm sick and tired of anything about the Clintons. So Ellen will be here, obviously, today, and she'll be back next Wednesday right after Medicine on Call, which is going to be very interesting. It'll be from Antigua, as a matter of fact. So we are international in our own little way. With that being said, that sort of brings something that's close to both of us. Our country was founded on Christianity. Our country was founded on our ministers, our preachers, be they Methodist or Congregationalist back then or whatever, standing up in the pulpit, giving the hellfire and damnation type speech or message to their congregation, and they took sides. There was no question about it. They took sides against the English. They took sides against even the Indians and the Native Americans. But they stood for something, and they brought in Christianity into politics. Now, there is a big misnomer that the separation in state, that there is no such animal. It's not in the Constitution. But we have a bunch of wimps.
Yes.
We have a bunch of people that only care about the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And Elena George is infamous for saying, follow the dollar. And you can follow the money.
Right.
And you certainly can with our ministers today, be they female or male. I hate this. They should be condemning the Clintons for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying, make your own choice. At least, if not wearing red hats that say Trump, make America great again, as they preach from their pulpits. What's your feeling, Ellen?
Right. So I feel very strongly about what pastors should be doing and how they should be speaking out. Pastors are terrified of losing their 501c3 status, which is a tax.
Which is what?
It's a tax loophole, which means it's about money. So when you hear the word 501c3 and tax and pastors, think money, just like David was saying. You've got to follow the money trail. So here are the things that I am very upset about pastors choosing money over me. Pastors are choosing a tax loophole over my religious liberties. If Hillary Clinton gets in office, do you think that we are going to have religious liberties? Are we going to be able to pray in public? They have already taken taken prayer out of schools. They have ripped the Ten Commandments off the walls. There's a lot of religious persecution going on here in the United States. While other religions are able to rise up, we as Christians are being squashed down, and our pastors are chickens. They are just flat out chickens. So if you go to a church, go talk to your pastor and tell them, talk to them like right now today, because they need to get in the pulpit on Sunday. They need to step out from behind the pulpit and have some courage and speak out for religious liberties. And I'm not done. I got another minute on this. There are two that I know of, and possibly more, gentlemen that have spoken out. Jensen Franklin of FreeChapel.org did an amazing sermon on September 11th without risking his 501c3 status. He very clearly and boldly said, you need to go to the candidate, go with the candidate who comes more closely to the Bible, which means pro-life and pro-Israel. And he spoke very, very boldly. Then this Sunday, after my sister went to Mass, she told me that the priest at her church had done a very fiery sermon detailing what partial birth abortion is. And if you guys don't know what it is, just listen to the words. Partial birth abortion. A baby is ripped from its mother's womb and then jabbed in the back of the skull, has its brain scrambled so that it is killed, oh, just before being born. This is a fully viable baby. So another thing that pastors are doing is they are chickening out and not speaking up for babies. What Christian pastor do you know or priest would stand in a pulpit and not defend the unborn? So every pastor and priest across America needs to stand up and say, I believe in a God that is bigger than the 501c3. I believe in a God who will stand up for our religious liberties and our unborn and defend me and replace any tax dollars that I might lose as a result of violating this 501c3. And the pastors signed up for it. They bought into this world system, which is why the pastors are being judged. They're being judged by a world system on this. There's a priest in Arizona that did an amazing sermon breaking down, if you had what the two candidates stand for without saying the candidates' names. And he pointed out, if there was a candidate that said it was okay to kill a black person because that black person might keep you from getting into the school of your choice, would you support that candidate? No. And then if there was a candidate that supported killing a brown person, a Hispanic, because that Hispanic might keep you from getting the job you want, would you support that candidate? No. But there is a candidate, Hillary Clinton, who says it's okay to kill a black person or a Hispanic person as long as they're in the womb. It's okay. The priest really nailed it. So, taxes, follow the money.
Follow the money. With that being said, I want to bring up a couple of other things. First time in history, the Border Patrol has endorsed a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have someone else in the law enforcement agency business.
Right. So we have got ICE is a recent endorser of Donald Trump. And I had to look up what ICE stood for. I've had to look up a lot of things in the last 6 months. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That is a 20,000 employee endorsement. Big enough that they could probably have their own rally if they wanted to. Now, let's contrast that with another group, ISIS. Who do you think they might be endorsing for President, David?
Oh, I think they don't want to lose their weapons supply, so I'm sure they would endorse Mrs. Clinton.
Right, and there are a lot of things that I have to look up. I had to look up ICE, and I was pretty sure I knew what ISIS stood for, but I went ahead and looked it up anyways to make sure I had it right. Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. And Syria is where HER wants to bring in 550% more immigrants without doing any background checks on these people. Now, I cannot figure out the money trail on that one, but there's something going on when you want to bring in people from Syria, ISIS, last S in ISIS. Why do you want to bring in more people from a country that is ISIS? I don't. Somebody help me out.
Well, it's got to be money. That's all the Clintons know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's got to be an angle to it, some way or the other, that she's going to make a buck or open the door to the White House. I heard today one of the commentators saying that with Hillary, it's going to be who's going to pay the most, that it'll be a bidding war for the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her bottom line, as mm-hmm. is Bill's. I personally, and we haven't talked about this, but it's my opinion that Hillary, even if she were to win, she's not going to make it. I think the lady is in extremely poor health.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. George and I have talked about this, as well as some other doctors that do shows. And I think Trump nailed it. Would have loved to have had the drug test.
Right.
Before the last debate. She has to be given some powerful cocktails. And this taking off a couple of days here and a couple of days there to practice or study or get
right.
I'm sorry, but it's my opinion that she's under a lot of medication, and that if she were to make it into the White House, she wouldn't be there very long.
Yeah, she's there's a lot going on there. Do we have time to talk about Obamacare?
We have about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, I can nail Obamacare in 2 minutes. I started selling health insurance 20 years ago, and the cost for a single person was about $100. Now that cost is upwards of $750, and people are getting their renewals, thank God, right now before the election. What the media is telling us is, oh, it's about 20 or 22% increase. That is a lie. We are looking at upwards of 60%, 70%, 80%. And that is the truth. And you just need to go to your mailbox and see what your increase is. Now, these are for the carriers that are part of the exchange, the Obamacare exchange, which is a huge failure and a disaster. When we started with the exchange a few years ago here in Georgia, there were 7 insurance carriers that participated. Now, for the 159 counties in the state of Georgia, there is one carrier in the state that is covering all 159 counties, and we're talking about skinny down HMO networks. And then there's one other carrier that is going to do some coverage in the metro Atlanta area. So your choices have gone down, your prices have gone up, your deductibles have skyrocketed, and your plan, your network has really slimmed down. So it's a bona fide mess. Vote for Trump.
Ellen, again, I want to thank you for coming in today and look forward to continuing this next Wednesday, and that'll put us very close to the election. Thanks again for coming in.
Great. Thank you. My pleasure.
This is America's Web Radio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for